On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. We come to you on the Infinity Sports Network. You could find us right where you are. You're listening to us, so you have found us. Now, if your normal mode of finding us is not available, you can also find us on the Odyssey app. That's free to download and to listen to. You can find us on Sirius XM. We're on channel 375. You can find us on podcast, wherever you get yours. And again, stations all throughout the country. I'm sure there's many a spot right now where you could be traveling in the middle of what you think is nowhere and scan the radio dial, and you scan enough and all of a sudden you'll hear a good evening, everybody, and you'll feel right at home. Also, tell your friends. That is the extent of this show's advertising budget. Just blocking out a little bit of time to say, tell your friends. The phone number to reach us, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We've had another wild night in the NBA. I don't know if that will continue with the results of this game that is in action right now, but the first game we got to see once again, the same game we saw the other night between the Knicks and the Celtics. So if you like a game where the Knicks go down 20 and then the Celtics miss a bunch of threes and then Mikal Bridges makes a great defensive play to seal the game for New York, well, you got to see that two straight games. So the Knicks are up 2-0 in this series. Not only was Mikal Bridges good defensively, he was able to chip in 14 points. Now, up until the fourth quarter, he had no points. But he had 14 points in the fourth quarter to get things done for New York, and they win 91-90. 91-90. That was the complete score of a basketball game. Yeah, you know, we've seen games lower scoring sometimes. 91-90, kind of more of a 90s kind of score. But that's, you know, that's 90. That's a full game they played to get that many points, man. The Oklahoma City Thunder are at halftime, and they scored 87 points already. Granted, different game flow, but the four teams in action tonight, the Knicks have 91 points after four quarters. The Celtics have 90 points after four quarters. The Thunder have 87 points after two quarters. They're winning right now 87-56. We've seen comebacks. We've seen road teams win. Dare we say this game is over between the Thunder and the Nuggets? I don't think anybody wants to say that right now. But if there is a game to say that in, maybe this is it. According to the ESPN win probability chart, the Thunder have a 99.7% chance of winning this game.
Oof.
I bet there are a lot of screenshots being taken of that just in case. Again, that's how the NBA playoffs have gone up to this point, is that no lead is too safe, even the most safe of leads, just because of what has happened. You cannot be too sure. Tomorrow night, we have one game, just one game, that's going to be between the Warriors and the Timberwolves, and the Warriors will be without Steph Curry for at least a week. It is a strained left hamstring that he was bothered with in the middle of the second quarter last night. Underwent an MRI this morning. MRI confirmed the injury as a grade 1 hamstring strain. He'll be reevaluated in 1 week. So that basically means at least a week. 1 week. So what the Warriors need to do here is that's going to cover game 2, 3, and 4. The week time frame will cover 2, 3, and 4. Game 5 of that series is going to be on Wednesday. Next Wednesday, the 14th. And that's the first day he's going to be reevaluated. And rarely do we see guys be reevaluated and then go out and play that night. So they could even be without. I think at this point, you got to be thinking, we may not get him back in this series at all and go from there. So they're going to have to adjust. They were able to keep the Timberwolves at bay last night. But the Timberwolves, you want to talk about history, their shooting the last two games has been historically bad. They got to figure things out too. So one game tomorrow, a lot of intrigue. You would expect with Curry out, the Timberwolves would be able to tie things up. Steve Kerr is going to have to figure out just exactly what is going on. What does Steve Kerr know as a coach, though, you might think? Well, he was the coach that barely played Jason Tatum on that Olympic team, and there might have been something to that. Jason Tatum's been bad in this series against the New York Knicks. He was 5 of 19 tonight, 1 of 5 from three, and in game one he was 7 of 23, 4 of 15 from beyond the arc. So wild happenings in the NBA. The other series that I've yet to mention, that's back on Friday. That'll be between the Pacers and the Knicks. Those of you with us last night, especially in hour one, I really poured my heart and soul out. Sometimes I will do that. I don't need to do that every night, but sometimes I really need you to know what I am thinking and why I am thinking it. I need you to know what my why is. That's a big thing that people say now. What is your why? Why do you do the things you do? Who do you do it for? So when complaining about the Pacers and the way they've been winning, I wanted to make sure that you knew it wasn't just because I'm a Bucks fan and they've knocked my team out the last 2 years. It should just be that, but now I'm starting to get mad for other fan bases for those teams also being injured and the Pacers taking advantage of them, the Knicks last year, the Cavs this year. The NBA, by the way, put out their last 2-minute report. I don't know why they do this. It's always full of mistakes. Tyrese Halliburton's offensive rebound off his second free throw should have been illegal due to multiple players entering the lane. There should have been a jump ball at center court. Instead, Halliburton got the ball and knocked down the three. So that's always fun if you're a Cavs fan. Just a little insult to injury there. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Quick look on the ice tonight as well. You have the Maple Leafs that have beat the Panthers again, 4-3. Game one was 5-4, so they go up 2-0. And then Dallas and Winnipeg, both teams needing a Game 7 win over the weekend. They are tied at 1 apiece with 10 to go in the second. Let's get out to Sean. He's in Oregon. What's up with you tonight? How are you?
Hey, Bart, I loved it. I tuned in like Rowdy Bart last night. I loved it. I loved your passion, brother. And I, you know, don't be afraid to move on from Giannis. You know, I remember how fans were here in Portland about Dame, and a lot of people don't want to move on. But I'm telling you what, brother, when that's your biggest chip, you got to move, and he's worth the most you got. You can get a lot for that player here in the near future, and otherwise, you're gonna be crippled by those contracts. You know, supermax contracts. I don't think teams are gonna be wanting to have those, and I think we're gonna see a trend of teams moving on from players before they're crippled by a few of those contracts sometimes.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think any thoughts that I have regarding Giannis and the Bucks, I think are different than they would be with any other team. and maybe any other player, because I do think that you have a player who is built a little bit different than some of these other guys. You know, I think his loyalty's been questioned for a decade, even though he's done nothing to have it be questioned. It's just people on TV shows trying to get him to New York or LA or Houston or Miami. But every time that Giannis is asked about it, he talks about his love for the city of Milwaukee, where he was drafted and has been his whole career. And when it's time to put pen to paper, he's done that now three times after his initial rookie contract. So he has said with his words and his actions that this is where he wants to be. So there is, I do think he's built a little different. Now, things can change. You know, people say things and believe things, and it means something to them. But then you mature or things change and the situation changes. And then you look like you're hypocritical, but you're coming at things from a different perspective now than you were previous. And where the Bucks are at in this perspective is any other team, yes, this is a no-brainer of all no-brainers to make a deal. Giannis is not going to be back to, he's won one playoff series now since they won the finals, and he's been hurt in a bunch of them. Healthy this year, but the Bucks have not had the continued success they thought they had. What essentially they did was they won a championship and then doubled down. Like, we won with these guys, we're going to continue with these guys. We're going to pay Pat Connaughton, we're going to pay Bobby Portis, we're going to pay Brooke Lopez, we're going to pay Chris Middleton. We're going to make sure these guys are all here. And they ran it back for another year, had some injuries, and then decided, and then they got rid of Mike Budenholzer. And then later in the summer, when we're like, all right, it's Adrian Griffin that's going to coach this team. Weird, but okay. Then all of a sudden, the Bucks trade Drew Holiday for Damian Lillard. So they doubled down, ran it back. And then they had injuries in the postseason. Chris Middleton got hurt against Boston. And that was when they decided, oh, okay, I guess it didn't work. Just based on injuries. Bucks have been making all these decisions based on postseasons where they haven't been healthy. And it happened again last year, and it's happening again this year. But that was the route they took. Maybe they should have continued, you know, maybe one more year, keep Drew Holiday, don't trade Dame. It's hindsight now. And it doesn't help their cause that Drew Holiday, who was traded to the Trailblazers, then went to the Celtics and won a title. I do have to remind a lot of people that the Bucks did not give Drew Holiday to the Celtics. But I still think had they known he would end up in Boston, they would have still done the deal. They wouldn't have done the deal if it involved Boston. But even if, okay, maybe he ends up in Boston, they wanted Damian Lillard. Well, now they have Damian Lillard. And if he didn't get hurt, then maybe things are different. Because you can trade Dame. I don't know what you're going to get for him. It might have to be like, hey, you want Dame? We'll take Bradley Beal. I don't know. But it's at least something you could try to do, maybe get a pick or two back. But you can't trade him now. He's hurt. He'll come back at some point. What will he look like? I don't know. Giannis is encouraged with how they did play together. They won the NBA Cup, mind you. I know. But now they're kind of stuck. But the Bucks, also one thing they did quietly in this postseason was they extended their general manager, John Horst. And John Horst has been with the Milwaukee Bucks for a long time. He was with the Milwaukee Bucks under John Hammond when he was the general manager there. Joined the Bucks in April of 2008, where he was the director of basketball operations. So the entire time that Giannis has been in Milwaukee, John Horst has been in Milwaukee, and then some. when he was hired as the general manager, I always thought his goal was, and his mission was, just make sure Giannis stays. Try to win a championship, but make sure Giannis stays. And they were able to do that. He stayed multiple times, and they won a championship. So them re-signing John Horst, because I thought for sure if they got bounced and they got bounced quickly, the Bucks would be making changes. I think any other team, the GM would be gone, Doc Rivers would be gone, Giannis would be traded, and they would build anew. But the Milwaukee Bucks have not had a guy like Giannis since Kareem. The Milwaukee Bucks, forget the Milwaukee Bucks trying to cut through on a national level. I mean, it's hard for them to cut through on a state level in Wisconsin. Picture the state of Wisconsin. Nope, that's Minnesota. Picture the state of Wisconsin. The other way, you're thinking of the Dakotas now. Picture the state of Wisconsin, and in the corner, southeast corner of the state, is where Milwaukee is. That's pretty much who cares about the Bucks. The Brewers, the whole state cares about. The Packers, the whole state cares about, but not like cares about like it's a religion. The Brewers are a team the state likes. The Packers are a way of living and breathing. And the Bucks have always been like, oh, you like the Bucks? I don't want to go to Milwaukee. That's too far, and I heard there was a crime there once. That's what it's been like. So Giannis has taken the Bucks to a new level just in the state. And again, any other team, any other player, Giannis is the first trade on the transaction report this summer. But I think the team is stubborn, and they've got a player who's just as stubborn. And I'll be surprised if he does get moved. At this point. At this point, the night that they lost is probably 51-49. Kind of like 85-15 right now that he does stay. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Why am I talking about hypothetical NBA trades when we've got a juicy, strange, head-scratching NFL trade to talk about? And guess who's trading draft picks a week after the draft? Jerry Jones, my contemporary and fellow owner, making a deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll break it down, what it means, if it means anything, quite honestly, when we return on the Bart Winkler Show.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It's the Bart Winkler Show, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Wild night in the NBA. Pretty good night on the ice as well. Going to talk some NFL. The Dallas Cowboys made a trade, so 4-hour show. We'll get a good hour out of that, I would assume. Yeah, it's kind of a B-tier trade, but that's how we do on the national scene. Ryan Horvat knows it well. BetMGM tonight. He joins us here with Conclave odds. Who do you got? I got Pietro right now.
So here's what we're doing, right? I actually just wanted to call in as a caller, but I needed the number because you haven't reset in a while, and I was driving home from my show, like you said, BetMGM tonight, and I have three really strong takes. And
I haven't reset in a while. Like giving the number?
Yeah. You know, you got to play the hashtag, play the hit, son. Play the hit.
You're right.
Anyway,
well,
I got three
let me.
Takes.
Can I tell you what happened? Can I just tell you what happened?
Yeah, what?
I had a caller ask a question at 9, and I knew I could get the answer to 12 minutes past the hour.
Yeah.
But then I wouldn't really have anything, and I didn't want to break at 12. So then I stretched it to get to 15.
Ah. Well, I think I have three takes right now, and I think at least one of them is going to fire up your audience, and there's going to be probably 20 to 25 calls here in the next 2 hours. So I'm going to start off with take number one, right? And I even wrote these down in my notes because I'm driving home in D.C. So hopefully this call sounds okay. I got everything in front of me. Okay. So I'm driving home, man, and I'm all fired up about that Knicks comeback win against Boston. And I turn you on, and you're talking about John Horst and the Bucks. And I was thinking, why?
Like, is that's not fair. I was responding to a call,
no.
And I just did an hour on the Knicks.
No, dude. And then I thought about it, and I said, you're a genius. This is all genius because you're getting to the bigger point. Here's the thing, right? So, first
okay,
off,
thanks.
Here's my take. Here's my take on Giannis, right? If the Bucks hold on to Giannis and continue to try to build around him in his 30s, mid-30s, I don't think that's a terrible decision. Here's why. They won a championship for the first time since the 70s with Giannis. Milwaukee basketball, as I worked on the post-game show, you know, the first couple of years, it was irrelevant until Giannis. They just built the Pfizer Forum, a brand-new arena a couple of years ago. They spent all that money on the Deer District. Nobody is going to come to the Deer District to watch a tanking team and Kyle Kuzma, who had no points, no rebounds, right, and no assists in 20 minutes of action. That's why you hold on to Giannis. Why you move on from Giannis is you want to rebuild. You want to do what OKC did, right? Like, they had to make some unfortunate decisions. Now, they didn't want to get rid of KD, but they didn't want to pay James Harden. They did, but they couldn't pay James Harden and Russ Westbrook. You know what I mean? And now here they are again in the playoffs. So I don't think they're dumb either way, man, but I would understand holding on to Giannis. And the other point that I would make, Golden State, it looked like their run was over, right? And they had some failed number one overall picks, James Wiseman, you know, Kuminga, some of these other guys. And we thought the run was over for Steph and Draymond. And then a couple of years ago, even without KD, they won another chip one last time. And now here they are in the playoffs. And I'm not saying they're going to make a deep run. They're probably screwed without Steph. But it's not like Giannis is 40 years old. Maybe it's going to be an uncomfortable 2 or 3 years. The Dame situation sucks. But we all, we're watching basketball tonight, and it's Jokic, and I know Jamal Murray, but it's Jokic playing 40 minutes, dropping 40 with 20 rebounds, and Denver has a shot. You need stars in this league, man. If you don't have one, you're screwed. I'm a Bulls fan. The last decade has been the same thing. 38 to 39 wins, watching guys like Kobe White. I would rather win 10, 11 games and get Cooper flagged, but that's a different situation. If the Bulls had Giannis, even at 31 and 32, and just lost in the first round of the playoffs, I would not want to trade Giannis. I would want to go to the UC every night and watch Giannis. Stars sell tickets. They get people to the Deer District. And every year, you at least in your head think that you have a chance, and your team's at least relevant and fun. And again, you're not watching Kyle Kuzma. Now,
and it gives it, it's a great guy to market around, and I see him at swimming once a month.
Yeah, and he's a great dude, right? So it is what it is. Then I got to thinking, the reason why the Bucks aren't playing basketball isn't just Giannis. It's not just Dame's injury. It's the fact that Doc Rivers is a head coach. I got to thinking, why is Doc Rivers still a head coach? Oh, because on his resume, it says NBA champion as a coach, right? NBA Finals champion. Why does he have that ring? He coached a super team. Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce. But you know what else helps? Tom Thibodeau on that bench. Yet every year, dude, I have to hear these so-called hoop heads and guys that hashtag no ball, Rip Tibbs. He plays his starters too much in the regular season. His guys try too hard on defense. He's the reason why Derrick Rose had a freak non-contact injury in a playoff game. He shouldn't have been out there. What do you mean he shouldn't have been out there? It was a 9-point game with 2 minutes to go. Are you guys watching the playoffs? The Bucks blew an 11-point lead. You know, the Boston did it again tonight. You play your stars in the playoffs, and Tibbs gets no credit. I love what he's doing right now, man. How about we start ripping Joe Mazzulla? I know that Boston just won a chip last year, right? But also, what, 10 for 53 from three, 15 for 60 from three. And this goes back to Mike Budenholzer getting fired. Why did he get fired? He doesn't make the proper adjustments. He does this wrong. He does this wrong. The guy won a championship. The guy took an Atlanta team to 60 wins and sent Kyle Korver and all five starters to the All-Star game.
People forget. Hashtag people forget.
He didn't have LeBron. You know what Tibbs hasn't had? LeBron. This goes back to having Giannis. You know how you win in the league? You have star players, dude. So every year Tibbs takes a team 50, 60 wins, and they lose to a team with a star. Guy doesn't that doesn't mean that he can't coach. So I think Knicks fans, Bulls fans, hell, even Timberwolves fans, everybody owes Tom Thibodeau an apology. I know it's only a 2-0 series, but the Knicks went from being plus 500 to now the favorites, minus 135 to win this series. And I don't think Tibbs gets enough credit. Even if they don't win this series, even if they lose in seven, he's gone next year. He's fired, man. And I just think that that's ridiculous. I think he's a really good coach. And I get that injuries happen. And I get, yeah, he runs his guys into the ground and he treats the regular season the way it should be treated. But I love watching him coach circles around Joe Mazzulla right now. Shout out to Tibbs. Here's my third take. One of these three teams is winning 11 games in the NFL. You pick. The Arizona Cardinals, who finally spent some draft resources and some money on the defensive side of the ball. I think Kyler finally lives up to the hype. I think Marvin Harrison has a breakout second year. I think Trey McBride's the best tight end in the league, not named Brock Bowers. And Jonathan Gannon, if they don't win this year, he's probably gone. If Kyler doesn't win this year, he might be gone. Pressure on. How about Jacksonville in the AFC South? I'm not fully sold on the Texans. I love Stroud, but yeah, dude, I love the Liam Cohen hire. I bet him coach of the year 16-1. You have Tank Bigsby and Travis Etienne, right? Look how he used his backs last year in Tampa. All three of them. Bucky was obviously the stud, but I love the way that he utilizes his backs. And again, if Trevor Lawrence doesn't ball out, is he even the starter in Jacksonville? I think Liam Cohen does what he did for Baker Mayfield. Makes them finally look like a number one overall pick. Jacksonville can't be any worse on the defensive side of the ball. And that division's weak, and they play the sixth easiest schedule. I think it could be the Jags. And then I hate to say it as a Packers fan. Bears are winning 10 games, man. It's going to be more Caleb under center, more two tight end sets. Jared Goff had a 42 QB rating before Ben Johnson got to Detroit. The last 3 years, he's thrown for over 4,000 yards. Caleb's going to ball out, and the defense will be just fine. One of those three teams is winning 11 to 12 games this year.
Well, I would want to say Arizona, but I don't know that I believe in them. Jacksonville, you got an audible response from me. I could agree with you on the Bears, but I would not take that at the expense of the Packers or the Vikings. I feel like we have seen the best of this era of Detroit Lions football. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think the Lions regress. I think the Lions win 9 to 10 games. You lose Ben Johnson, the best coordinator, who I think is going to be a really good head coach. You lose your defensive coordinator, who I think is going to be a disaster because of what he did to my boy Aaron Rodgers. But now we find out how good Dan is, man. Like, I know he's a great hype man, but I think the brains have left town. And I think Jared Goff, I'm not saying he's going to fully regress and go back to the guy that was benched for John Wolford in a playoff game by Sean McVay, but I think Detroit takes a step back. I think the division is between Green Bay and the Bears. And I think Minnesota's the ultimate wild card. Like, yeah, they could win 6-7 games if JJ's no good. But, dude, Kevin O'Connell just won 13 games with Sam Darnold. That defense, I think, got a little bit better, actually, this offseason. So the Vikings are the wild card. I think Detroit's still probably a playoff team, but schedule gets a lot tougher, and they lose Ben Johnson, so I worry about them. And here's the other thing nobody's talking about with Detroit. Aiden Hutchinson's a stud. He led the league in pressures before his injury, had 5.5 sacks. When he got hurt, they had literally one of the worst pass rushes in the league. What did they do to improve that this offseason? Marcus Davenport hasn't played 10-plus games three straight years. Trusting a rookie? So I think that defense might be a mess. They're going to be in a lot of shootouts. I think the Lions take a step back. Last year was their year, man. You win 14 games. We know this as Packers fans. You 15. Win 14 games and you 15 games and you get a rookie quarterback at home in your dome and you can't win that game. I don't feel any better that they get that job done this year without, you know, their coordinators.
Ryan Horvath, BetMGM tonight. I wish we work for the same company. Maybe we could do a show together.
Hey, I got 4 hours in me.
You work for Odyssey. I work for Odyssey.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I actually forgot about that. But before I go, hashtag apologize to Tibbs. Knicks are winning this series. And even if Tibbs and the Knicks lose in the Eastern Conference Finals to Indiana or Cleveland, Tibbs should keep his job. Everybody should call in New York, Minnesota, and Chicago, especially in Chicago. Gar Foreman, you stupid idiot. John Paxson, whatever Subway you're making sandwiches at, you better call Tibbs tonight and apologize. Apologize. Woo! Knicks in six.
Ryan Horvath, thanks, buddy. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, dude. Thanks for allowing me that. Bye.
Yeah, anytime. Hey, anytime. The world needed to hear that strong defense of Tom Thibodeau. And Ryan Horvath was the man. He's over at BetMGM tonight, 4 hours a night. He's the man to bring it to you. Ryan Horvath. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update. Marco Belletti.
It's time for Power Rankings, Bart Winkler style.
You know what? You just made the list.
It's Worst and Five. Here's Bart Winkler.
It's time for our Worst and Five. It's our weekly Power Rankings. Throughout the fall, NFL. Throughout the winter, into the spring, NHL and NBA. And throughout now this period of the year, hesitant to say summer because we're not quite there yet, but we take a look at Major League Baseball. We start with the worst team in the league. A couple of teams that I would like to nominate. The Baltimore Orioles lost again tonight, and this is a team that I had projected to go to the World Series. Now, there's plenty of time left, but I saw this from Orioles fan Ryan online. He said, in the past calendar month, the Orioles have done the following. Lost 9-0, led 6-3 in the eighth and lost, struck out 15 times in a game and lost 8-3, lost 24-2 and then lost the next game 7-0, got swept in a doubleheader, lost 7-0 again, lost a game 15-3, gave up 7 homers in a game, lost 11-6, and then lost 9-1. Fire somebody, do something. So they're certainly a contender. The Milwaukee Brewers are playing 500 baseball, so they're pretty clear of the relegation line. But they also are a team that had a $59.99 hot dog promotion where you can get free hot dogs to every game you come to if you buy this $60 package. And then people got the hot dogs last Friday, and then they were charged 63 cents because apparently it did not cover the tax. The Brewers have rectified the situation. But the worst team in the league is the worst team in the league, and that's the Colorado Rockies, who
you suck
have won 6 games, so that's good. And they're probably going to lose tonight here too to the Tigers. 7-6 in the 10th. So at 6 and presumably 29. The worst team in the league still remains the Colorado Rockies.
You suck!
Yeah, I'll piggyback off of that. It's the Rockies for me as well. They simply just can't do anything well. Their pitching's 27th in baseball with a 5.33 ERA. They're 28th in batting average and OPS. Their defense is barely any better at 23rd. You put all of that together to have the worst run differential at minus 89, it explains why the Rockies, for me, are also the worst team in baseball.
You suck!
All right, as far as my top five, and I'm going to start at the top with number one.
Number one.
Because my number five is on this list for spiteful reasons. All right? So once I get to five, it will be because I'm spiteful and I don't like how things are going. And I'm going to make them punish by putting them at number five, which may not make sense when I actually reveal who number five is. Number one is the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, at number one, or did you do number one?
Yeah, I already hit it.
Yeah. Anyway, number one's the Dodgers. They're 25-12. They've got a 53 run differential. Not the best in the league. Not even... Barely top five. The Dodgers, I thought at this point, would be more like 35-6 than 25-12, but I won't hold that against them They are the best team in the league. At number two.
Number two.
It's what I had at number two last week. Just like my last week, I had the Dodgers at one. Last week, by the way, I'll tell you, I had the Dodgers, Mets, Cubs, Padres, and Giants. That was last week. This week, not a lot of reason to change the top. Dodgers at one, and the New York Mets will come in at number two at 24 and 14. I believe you are going to see them up close and personal this weekend. The whole series, if I'm not mistaken, Carlos.
Yes, programming note, I will not be here on Friday. So, sorry, everybody, but when the Cubs are here, nothing else matters. I will be going to all three Cubs at Mets games in Citi Field in Queens, New York.
Do you got good seats for any of these games, or are we just like kind of getting in the park here?
Friday and Sunday, getting in the park, you know, doing standing room only. Just my wife had it. Saturday night, I'll actually be with Zach Gelb on these airwaves, Infinity Sports Network, so I'm sure we'll have some solid seats there. But I don't care. I'll be blasted because the Knicks are playing in the afternoon.
You don't know where you're sitting? What, does Gelb have some sort of hookup?
Well, no, he has the tickets. I don't ask. I just show up.
Because people always think I have a hookup with the Brewers. I'm like, I don't even think they like me over there. So, no, I cannot get you tickets. At number three.
Number three.
I am going to be placing the San Diego Padres at number three. And at number four.
Number four.
I'm going to put the Giants. Not much separates them. Both a game and a half back in the West. Padres 23 and 13. Giants 24 and 14. So, you know, they're in a fine spot, both of them. And then at number five.
Number five.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm not putting the Cubs in because they think they should be in, and so I'm punishing them for not being in.
Hater.
I'm not putting the Yankees in because they think they should be in. I'm not putting the Tigers in because they think they should be in. I kind of want to put the Mariners here, who have won eight of their last 10, 22 and 14, leading the AL West. But I'm going to put the Philadelphia Phillies.
Wow, look at you.
At 21 and 15, they've also won, I believe, eight of their last 10. They had a series against the Mets that they got swept, and everybody in Philadelphia was like, oh, season's over. We're done. And then they took two or three from the Cubs, two or three from the Nationals, two or three from the Diamondbacks. So far, two or three from the Rays. I'm so annoyed when I see teams. Like, if you see a team like that sucks and they're like, oh, we're done in May, yeah. But a team like the Phillies, it's just, you know, these fan bases that go into overdrive to cope. Screw you. You have a good team. F off. You're fifth. I'm done.
All right. One through four, we were pretty much in lockstep. So I actually started five since that team is different.
Number five.
And you are an absolute hater. I'm going to, of course, going to put the Cubs there. But I want to remind everybody, I had the Cubs at number two. So this is a big drop for them. Last week, I had the Mets one, Cubs two, Dodgers three, Yankees four, Tigers five. I will spoiler you alert now. No American League teams have made my top five again. I just don't find any AL team really that impressive. But the reason the Cubs are dropping down from two to five for me here is, yes, they still are playing the toughest schedule in the majors, but I got genuine concerns now. You mentioned the series loss to the Phillies. They also dropped the series to the Giants. They got clubbed in one of those games today. They didn't look that great, 4-1. But Ryan Pressly is an absolute disaster. That bullpen isn't that great outside of maybe Porter Hodge. PCA, P. Crow Armstrong, for those of you who are uninitiated, he's a stud, but he's been scuffling as of late. He's swinging at everything. So the Cubs got some concerns for me that I don't like, but they're still good enough for me to put them in my top five. Oh, yeah, Shota Imanaga is also on the 15-day IL. If he comes back in 2 weeks, I will be shocked. But right now, the Cubs have dropped down to number five. At number four.
Number four.
Lockstep, you and I, Bart. I have the Giants there. Again, they got a two-game winning streak against my Cubbies, but more importantly, they're keeping pace with two juggernauts in their own division. Unlike the Cubs, they got a great bullpen. There's Camilo Doval in there. Ryan Walker's in there. They might have the best top three rotation with Logan Webb, Robbie Ray, and Justin Verlander. And
are you runs. Robbie Ray? Who wants to know?
And both the Giants and Cubs, by the way, have 18 wins against teams over 500. So the Giants will be a scary, scary wild card team because the Dodgers will win that division.
Number three.
Padres, just like you, everything I said for the Giants, it applies for Padres slightly even more. I like their star players more than the Giants and Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado. which was my tiebreaker between San Francisco and San Diego. Dylan Cease and Michael King are studs at the top of the rotation. There's a lot of things to like about San Diego, so I have them at number three. At number two.
Number two.
Beat the Mets if you can. They have the best run differential in the National League. Juan Soto seems like he's starting to heat up. He had two home runs today against Arizona. And Jeff McNeil, who'd have thunk it? He looked cooked last year. He looks good since coming off of the injured list. He had a triple earlier today, and along with Luis Angel Acuna, they made fans completely forget about how bad Brett Beatty was. So the Mets at number two for me, which means my number one team,
number one,
is the LA Dodgers. They finally got the best record in baseball all to themselves. They really have the best everything. But they did just lose Teoscar Hernandez. I'm not sure how long he's going to be out, but I would say, I think like 2 months, 6 to 8 weeks, I believe was a time frame. He'll probably be out a little bit longer than that. So injuries can always come into play to derail what should be an undefeated season for the Dodgers. I thought 162-0 would be on the table. It's not, but you know they're still good. And last note here, Shohei Ohtani becomes the first player to reach 10 home runs and 10 stolen bases 1 year after a 50-50 season. Duh, because he's the only guy in history to have a 50-50 season. He's on pace for 40 in each category, and that is my top five.
All right, our worst in five power rankings. We tell you the worst team in the league and then give you our five best, and there it is for MLB. Remember, our power rankings do not dictate who gets to the playoffs, and it's only the sixth week of the season, so any complaints can be directed to your diary, a page that you should then rip out and throw it down the toilet.
Burn it even.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Looks like we're going to get a home team victory in the NBA. And at what point is Bart going to break down this Cowboys trade?
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.